Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the
Chai
and Shah podcast.
Okay.
How was your morning? Tell them.
It was a rough morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just so tired. I'd be so tired all the time. And there's like, I don't know. I feel like weekends is when I have to do everything because throughout the weekdays, I'm so busy with school and work. So it's like I pile everything literally into Saturday and Sunday and then I just don't rest. So, but yeah, we're supposed to start at 10 o'clock. It is 12.
Exactly.
I was supposed to pick her up at 9:45. I picked her up at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. And tell them why you didn't. I woke up, okay?
I was just having a Facebook Marketplace dilemma.
Which I respect, because we love Facebook Marketplace.
I really do.
I love Facebook Marketplace, okay? It's really, really bad. Especially since like the boycotts have started.
Yeah.
Like I loved it before then, but like after that I was like, okay, maybe I can just take from my neighbors instead of going to these corporations.
It's like thrift shopping. Basically. It's so fun.
You have to try it out. Can we ask Facebook to sponsor us? Probably not.
I don't think they would.
They won't say we hate your kind. But not really.
We do it.
Yeah. So she went to go get Facebook Marketplace item, and then she gonna text me at 9:45. What time was it? She said, my new ETA is 10:30. Huh? The whole reason we were gonna start early is because of her.
In my defense, if we would've started early, the place we're filming at didn't open till 11.
That is
we
true.
We would've pulled up here and been standing outside.
But we did, yeah, that is correct. I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I did express that. What's so funny?
Mm-hmm.
I always say this stuff with a laughing as a joke, but like my grandma actually does it.
I thought you were just copying that one meme of the Somali lady on the news.
No, she does that, but no, it's a common thing most Somali women do, but my grandma doing it was crazy to me. She'd be like, stop, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, oh, okay.
You should show her that video.
She's not gonna understand the English part.
Isn't it all in Somali? Of the lady on the news when she's like,
remember.
I love that. I love that meme. It's one of my favorites. How was your morning?
I told you how my morning was. You dictated my morning. Had me up at 9 a.m.
I think I should start telling my friends, don't listen to me if I'm saying something about the time.
But the thing
don't
is, I trust you because you're one of my more
don't
punctual
trust me.
Friends.
That's really sad because I'm not a punctual person.
But you almost always been.
I think in comparison.
What if you said my new ETA is 10:30?
Part of me died.
And then I told my sister, it was like 10:18. I was like, wake me up at 10:23.
Oh,
she goes, 10 seconds later, she goes, it's 10:23. I literally started shaking. I started shaking.
That's crazy, yeah. Me being one of your more punctual friends is kind of sad. But also, our friend group is a bunch of Africans and Black people. And they don't ever show up on time anywhere. If we say we're meeting to get food at 5 p.m., just know that you're going to have people arriving between 5 to 7:30.
Except for Sister Shah. I'm there. If I can help
She's
it.
Very punctual.
If I have my own transportation and I can get
Bro, she don't even be having a car and she'll show up on time. I'm like, how'd you get here? She's like, hey, I got here.
I flew in. I don't care. I think for me, it's an anxious, and it's like it causes anxiety for me. And I feel really, really bad because sometimes I feel like I rush people, and then you get to the event, and like there aren't many people there. But
yes.
To me, I would rather be the few there versus the few that came super late.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it.
I agree.
Yeah, it's an anxiety thing.
I think with a lot of like non-white people, the times are usually more of a suggestion than it is like a hard start. Like I noticed like in American culture, it's like if someone says 10 a.m., the meeting is at 10 a.m. Like 10:01, you're late. Whereas in our cultures, it's more like a, like I was talking to one of our friends the other day, and she was saying how like if someone tells her we're meeting at 12, she takes that as like from 12 to 1. And it's between.
Oh no, you guys are toxic. Talk to
one. But I feel like that's really how our cultures view time. It's like, okay, then it's between. Like, we kind of look at it as like it's between this and this time, as opposed to like it's at this specific time.
If you communicate with me, I'll accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it, especially if it's like a one-on-one meeting, if you communicate with me. But if you just pop up, I'm probably not going to like you. I'm so serious.
I feel like I just wouldn't wait that long. I feel like taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just being on.
Exactly. That's why, but the thing with me is I would probably wait. Because I'm like, what if they come at this time and I'm already at the
I guess it also depends on the person, too. Yeah. Like, sometimes I've met with friends who, like, they were like, I'm running really late because of X, Y, Z. I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said communicate with me if something is going on, if you need me to pick you up, if you need to cancel.
Yeah.
But if you just gonna show up an hour later, that's gonna hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think especially as an adult, when it's like, you, like, have to schedule things into your schedule just to see your friends and stuff like that, it's like, it sucks when people are just, like, last minute, like, I'm not coming, or they just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, you scheduled it, you planned for it.
Have you had people last minute tell you they're not coming?
And, like, maybe, like, one-offs, but I don't know. I feel like I don't have the right to get mad because I'm, like, I'm an on-time person either, so I'm, like, it is what it is.
No, I'm not saying I'm super punctual. I just try to be mindful of the time I get places. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm not super punctual. I just don't think it's cute when people want to come in hour and a half later.
But also, something I try to do is, like, because I'm still in school, so I always take my school stuff with me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if this person shows up late, I have stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not
that.
Maybe one of these.
Take a book. Something. Because I'm like, I'm going to make use of this time, whether you're late or not.
I actually, funny enough, I actually started reading books, and then I made a goal to read 100 books by the end of the year. Ask me how much I read. Why are you immediately laughing?
No, because I have a goal too.
What is your goal?
Mine's just 2 books a month, and I still didn't meet that. I'm just trying to do 2 books a month. You 100?
Yeah. Because I can read.
Yeah.
But,
how many are you at?
7. Girl, it's September. So hot.
It's only 93 minutes ago. All
right.
You can do it.
I can. You know, at first it was 300.
When did you think you were gonna have time for this?
Oh, I have time.
300 a year? Are you counting short stories and essays or what?
Novels. Trilogies, actually. Yeah. I just like the book community. I don't know. I wanted to get into.
Speaking of communities. Yeah. So today we actually wanted to talk a little bit about community, and you kind of segued perfectly into that, talking about the book community. Mm-hmm. I'm not really super into, like, the book community or, like, book talk or whatever, so I'm sure you can provide more insight on that.
But the thing with book talk is, so I used to dedicate my iPad to book talk because I was like, I want this to just be my avenue to read, and I'll get book suggestions and stuff, and my algorithm will pick up on the books I'm reading and the things I'm searching, and it did. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, I have this thing, I used to love reading, as most of us did when we were kids, we were addicted. Mm-hmm. I got older, I gave up, subhanAllah. And this year I was gonna get back into it. I even read some suggestions from friends and stuff, and I just, my brain back then was more my aunt. Is my aunt smelly?
In Arabic? That's so moldy, isn't it?
How do you say it in Arabic?
What are you trying to say? Because my aunt is sweet, right?
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, like, your head was more...
Sukkah?
Yeah, sugar.
But my brain was, like, more willing to read back then than now. Hence why I've only read 7 out of 100 books. And the thing is, I was like...
100 is crazy. And she's like, she works full time. So But,
okay. Were you a part of any book communities ever?
No. Except for now, we have like a little book club going on with some of our like friends and like our little girls group or whatever. I don't know. For me, reading is like a. It is nice to be in like book clubs and stuff like that. I feel like for me, reading is like an independent thing that I like to do.
Oh, I don't know. I like to discuss it. I just enjoy the book community, personally. It's really nice to have a space to talk about things with other people who can relate.
I agree. I feel like as an adult, you need to have like a space where like you can find like-minded people or people who share your same interests.
Yeah.
Because once you're out of school, I feel like it's hard to like find that community. Even in school sometimes, but
yeah,
especially like once, like you can speak on that more because like you're a working girl. So like, I feel like it's just hard once you like enter like your 9-to-5 and you're in your corporate job or whatever, like it's harder to find that community. You kind of have to like, you have to carve it out for yourself.
I feel like I'm a special case because I didn't feel alone after graduation or struggle to find community because I worked hard to build it while I was in school. If
yeah.
That makes sense. So for me, a lot of the people I hung around with in university
mm-hmm.
are the ones that I hang around with outside of. And they'll introduce me to new things, or I'll just randomly go and find something and just like
mm-hmm.
message random people about it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a special case. No, like, I'm very
yeah.
thankful.
No, I agree. Because, like, I don't know, when people talk about like their struggle, like finding community and finding like good companions and stuff, I'm like, it just fell into my lap.
I'm doing a lot. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, like the group that of people that we have around us is just very, it's very unique. Like it's not, I don't think it's everyone's reality.
Yeah. And yeah, that's why like, actually recently there was two girls, they're studying right now. And they asked me and my other friend who we graduated together, they asked us for like tips in college and like
mm-hmm.
study habits. One thing I emphasized to them was it's really important to know who you surround yourself with in school. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like college is one of like, in adulthood, if you are going to university,
yeah.
it's one of those like rare moments where you can find people that you click with really
yeah.
well. And that's why I was like, your company in university matters because they can make or break your, not only your experience, but low-key your education sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you're in charge of your own education, but sometimes the people you have around you are a big factor as to how easy or how hard it is to get your degree.
Mm-hmm.
But wow. yeah, I literally was like, your community in college matters a lot because a lot of the friends I have now are friends I graduated with or I found them while I was going to school. Or their friends of another friend I went to school with, etc. And that's just how kind of, you know,
yeah.
it goes.
Yeah. I feel like it's the same for me, even though, like, I went to, like, a completely separate school than, like, everyone else did, but 45 minutes away. But I also, like, everyone who I feel like I'm still friends with now, I met in a university setting. Because I feel like the schools here are, like, big to where it's, like, more of a community and less of, a, like, just a school.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So you get to meet a lot of people through that. But, yeah, no, I agree. It's, like, so important to, like, focus on the people you're surrounding yourself with because it really will make or break your whole experience. And, like, if you surround yourself with good people, like you said, you'll be able to take that outside of university as well. Because if it's just, like, you, we just friends because of geography and you are closest to me and I see you a lot, like, that's not going to last after college.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. I actually told one of my friends, literally yesterday, actually, I like to give credit where credit is due because I like getting credit when credit is due for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's toxic. There are some people that are like, I don't need my credit. No, give it to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's toxic.
Yeah, but I literally turned to her and I told her that she shaped me to be a good friend. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever thought I was a terrible friend. But there were certain characteristics that I already had based on my upbringing,
mm-hmm.
but I just needed people to, like, not even bring it out. I just needed people to show me how to properly use those characteristics, if that makes
mm-hmm.
sense. But yeah, I had to tell her, like, hey, you actually made me a good person with your friendship,
mm-hmm.
and you showed me how to be a good friend to other people around me through the things you did, and the, through the morals and teachings that you brought from where you came from. Yeah.
That's real. But yeah, I think it is really important to like make sure you're consistently like also seeking it out. I think people are afraid of being too forward and like it causes you to miss out on a lot. this is in general on a lot of opportunities, but it causes you to miss out on like those kinds of connections, like with people. Like recently, and I know this kind of relates to like online communities as well, but those count too, because it's like, this is the, we live in the digital age. So it's like, I know people, or maybe not a lot of people, but I know a lot of people have this idea that like in-person communities are more important than like online communities, but because of the way the world is today, I think both are just as important. And like your online communities can become your real life communities as well. I recently traveled and I was literally in another country, in another continent. I only knew one person there. And I realized when I was there that I actually was mutuals with like a random girl who lives there.
Wow.
And she reached out to me and we ended up hanging out while I was there and realized that we did have that mutual person in common. And it's so cool, it's like I literally only knew her through online up until that point that I was in her country. It's just really cool, and I was like, now I have a connection in a continent that I have never been to,
yeah,
and that's far away.
And it's also important to be careful with online communities.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Please. 100%. Especially with like when it comes to like relationships and stuff, I like tread very lightly.
Very lightly. Because even like in casual friendships, sometimes your friend behind the camera might be crazy. So you just have to like approach, is it diligently?
Mm-hmm.
Like in, for example, people will have, like there will be a page online, like a TikTok page, Instagram page, whatever page,
mm-hmm,
where it's like a whole bunch of people, they're just talking about their interests and you're learning from this one person. And that one person who owns the page or runs the page facilitates a space for you to be able to engage with others with the same interests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also really, really cool.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we literally live in a digital age.
Yeah.
Like, and I think about like new Muslims or Muslims who are like isolated and in their own towns where they can't access other Muslims.
Right.
Online communities become very, very important to
you. 100%.
Because if you can't find it in person, you have a second option.
Even right before this, we were talking about, there's like a YouTuber who's a Muslim girl that we've both been watching for like since high school days.
Yeah.
And she recently like connected with her. Like, I think that's so cool. Just being able to like make those connections.
Yeah.
And really all it takes from that is literally you just reaching out.
Literally. We're human. We need people. Even people who are not even antisocial, but like they don't like to go out of their way to meet new people every single day. We need someone. Like, we need someone.
Yeah.
And actually, yesterday at the halaqah, I was telling, like, we need at least one very, very good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not even, like, a codependent kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
But just, like, someone that can hold you accountable,
mm-hmm,
that is familiar with who you are as a person.
Yeah.
So. Whenever you do find these communities, like depending on how social of a person you are, it might be easier or more difficult for you to like maintain and stay in those spaces and like keep contact with those friends.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I think you just have to know yourself and know like what your limits are too. Like, just because you're looking for that community and you're looking for those safe spaces doesn't mean you have to like fully like immerse yourself into it constantly 24/7. It's okay to like be like, hey, I want to participate sometimes and I'm gonna do my own thing sometimes. And I think that's healthy. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, again, it shouldn't be like a codependent thing where like you need people. We need people, but you shouldn't need people. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You shouldn't need people.
Yeah. So it's like find that balance. Know what your boundaries are. I think that's a big one too, is like having boundaries when you're trying to make friends and build community too.
Yeah. Don't overexert yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that'll just, you'll just build resentment and you'll end up like, I feel like in those cases you just end up resenting everything and you isolate yourself again and like backfires.
Yeah. And don't force yourself to be a part of something that doesn't feel natural.
Something else I would add is also like, I think a lot of times what I see, especially like this specific to like young Muslims, is we, because we want that like Muslim friend group or that Muslim community, you're not so bad, we're willing to accept like a lower caliber of it than we should. So if you are in that situation where you find like Well, I finally found a Muslim friendly, but they not doing what they should be doing. I feel like in those cases, you need to maybe step away and like look at the bigger picture. Because it's like, it's great that you found Muslims, but again, if they're not on the same path as you that you don't want to be on, it's going to end up backfiring and doing more harm than it will good for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather be, like, obviously you don't want to have to choose one, but it's better to be alone, I think, than to be around, like, Muslims who are just not in alignment with the way you're trying to live your life.
Because it's not going to feel natural until, like, those thoughts start happening and you start normalizing certain things that you know you shouldn't be normalizing.
Exactly.
But in the very beginning stages, you'll know in your heart. You're like, even if you're not, like, a super practicing, I'm the most holiest person, but I'm trying to get there and I'm trying to practice a little bit more, but the environment and the people you're surrounded with aren't allowing you to, I think it's okay to go, because we have to grow, bro.
Yeah.
It's okay to go because we have to grow.
Period.
It
Let's
is.
Put it on this whole bag.
Then I'll eat it up. I think, maybe. Might drop.
Don't drop your glasses.
They're already being held together by super glue.
That's crazy.
I don't want to wait for a new pair to come.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I need new glasses.
Oh. You need to wear.
Yeah, I need to wear my glasses. I don't want to wear them.
She drove me here. Without them.
Oopsies. To be fair,
whatever.
I'm not blind like them.
Whatever.
Like these people.
Whatever.
I'm not about to play with
you. What about you?
But yeah, no, I think that is really important because I see that happen a lot. I know it sounds cliche, but you really should be looking for people who are doing the things and are already at where you're trying to get to. And it'll just, like, it'll come so naturally because it'll be like, you don't even have to try at that point because that's just who you surround yourself with. And it's wild to think about because I think it wasn't until I started, like, being more intentional with, like, the people I'm spending my time with is when I was like, it's actually not that, it's hard to find those people sometimes, but once you're in those kind of healthy friend groups and, like, communities, it's so easy to make those changes that you want to make because it's all around you.
And it's encouraged by those around you.
100%. Like, I feel like once I started, like, hanging out with the friend group that I do now, like, it completely 360'd my whole self. Like, I've been up.
I still think about that, when stories he was telling me in commission. It wasn't stories.
He didn't know me before. We knew of each other. I feel like we should do a whole video about, like, how we met, even though I don't remember.
This is gonna be 10 minutes. Because I don't remember nothing.
It's like we knew of each other, but we weren't friends like that. Like, it was just like, hey, hi and bye at events.
Are we gonna make this a video? Because I was like, if not, I'm gonna talk about it right now.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I don't remember my first encounter with Rima. I don't remember most of my friends. I promise you. Only like three friends. And then some of them would be like, you remember? And I'd be like,
No, she don't.
I don't remember a thing. Okay, stop me. Allah forgive me. But we have another very mutual friend. And this one, she's very social. Allah Mubarak, may Allah reward her.
Mm-hmm.
And so remember, she goes to a different school in a different time zone at this point. However, they would always come together over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And then one Ramadan, randomly, I think was it 2021 or 2020?
I think it was 21.
It's crazy to think we haven't been friends, like, good friends that long.
Yeah.
However,
it might have even been 22. But there was 22. Something that happened before that iftar that got, that we, like, actually connected, and then I invited you. Because I know if it was just off, I wouldn't have just invited you if I didn't actually, like,
really
talk to you for real.
I don't know.
I just don't know what was the event that we connected at.
Because I was
going
to say,
when did you actually start, like, talking for real?
Because for me, I started, like, taking it seriously when she invited me to her iftar. Like, when she invited me to her iftar, I was like, whoa, like, this is in her home. Like, this is, like, an honor. And I told my family, I was like, I gotta go, y'all. I love y'all so much. Y'all know me real good, but I need to, like, make, again, in college. And I know it's a privilege to go to college, but even, like, just try to go into spaces where you could potentially make friends.
Yeah.
But for me, like, at that point in my life, I was like, I know the people I surround myself with matter so much. So I was like, I gotta go to this girl's house. She gonna feed me. I don't know what I'm gonna eat, but I'm gonna be there the whole long time. So I pulled up at her house and I met so many other Muslim girls that some of them, like, I got even closer to them, or I know them a lot better as a result of the iftar
mm-hmm.
and all the other iftars I was invited to that year. So
yeah, I think that was a good year of, like, I feel like that's when I established so many more of, like, those friendships, because people just kept having those iftars, and it'd be, like, the same, like, groups of people.
Yeah.
Like, I'd keep running into you, keep running into, like, some of our other friends. And so I feel like that's kind of what set the scene for us to, like, keep hanging out after Ramadan was over, too.
We have to find that event that we met at.
Because there was something in between. I know I didn't just, like, meet you on campus one day and then be like, do you want to come to my house?
Yeah, I'm so surprised. Yeah. We didn't text or anything, and I got an invitation. And I was like,
there had to have been something else. I just don't remember what it was.
And I'm not going to confirm or deny
that.
Because I have no idea. And Allah knows. Maybe we can ask him.
Yeah, inshallah, one day.
Y'all don't get mad at me. But yeah, I will always hone in the fact that, like, the people around you matter so much. And even saying that statement is a privilege. But if you can help it, and you can nitpick the people who you want in your life,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to. You should.
I agree.
I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
Like, don't hold on to something that's dying.
Right.
In terms of, like, relationships.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in life, like, it is wise to choose isolation. Even if it's just for the time being, like, just pray that Allah, like, sends you good people in your life.
Yeah. One of our friends actually, in terms of not holding on to things that are dying, one of our friends posted a video, and her caption was, help, subhanAllah. Her caption was, heal the roots so the tree is stable. And I really enjoyed that caption, because, yeah, you should. Like, even with, like, a plant, you gotta get in the dirt sometimes.
She's saying that because I have a dying plant, and I don't know what to do. My mom took it from me.
She did?
My mom is, like, mashallah, green thumb type of lady. She's very good with plants, so she literally took it. I just came home one day and it wasn't in my room.
Your mom said, this
is, like, give it to
me. She said, this is too raggedy. I can't do this. Yeah, because she wants that plant to advocate for her. Maybe you would have prayed that.
Just isn't for me. I'm sorry. I gave it water. I gave it light. I don't know what more it wants.
I told you, sometimes you do. You got to start fresh. You got to cut some things.
I'm sorry. That's doing too much.
It is.
You can't be a plant mom.
It is. It is doing too much. I actually need to go take care of some I have in our house. I just haven't had a chance to go. Please forgive me, plants. Sorry.
But yeah, I think that's, I like that. It's like you need to establish that foundation first before you can add to it and grow.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you establishing that foundation is you, like, all right, I don't think these friends are leading me anywhere. So I'm going to completely cut off, and I'm just going to focus on me right now and focus on my relationship with Allah, and then you can grow from there, inshallah.
Exactly. 100%. The communities you surround yourself with are
100%. 100%. All right. That being said, what are some times you felt like community really, like, mattered to you or really came through to you?
There were quite a few, actually. Last year was so hard for me. It actually took an emotional toll. Wait.
Like this past year?
Yes, 2023. Oh my goodness, subhanAllah. That year, I never felt the down that I felt in that year ever in my life.
Really?
It was so, so, so bad. Like, I would break out crying. It was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really bad. Like, I'm saying that, but I'm dead serious.
Okay.
It was really, really bad. Like, I literally had, like, panic attacks and breakdowns because of how terrible last year was. But I remember one thing I remember, and it made me realize the people you surround yourself with, the community you're involved in, the people who are in your life matter so much. Because I remember one unfortunate evening, Facebook Marketplace. I was on Facebook Marketplace and I got myself a desk. It was a brand new desk that I had to build from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impatient. I didn't want to wait for my dad and my brother. And so I started, and then it was looking a little funky. And then I was like, hey, y'all, what y'all doing? And so they built the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
and they got it together. And I was so excited because I had a work from home job.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, subhanAllah, I have a desk now, and I can like be all official and like write and stuff like that. And so I remember I put it in the living room, Because I was like, okay, we're done. This is like a problem for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'll set it up in a room, whatever. Bye.
Yeah.
I go to my room. We're sleeping that night. Most of my family is sleeping. My parents are sleeping. My siblings are mostly sleeping, except for like one or two of them, like the teenagers and stuff like that. This was in June. So summer of 2023. Life was crazy before then, but like at this moment, I was like, I'm kind of done. But yeah, and then all of a sudden, we hear like a big boom. We hear a big boom. And I'm like, what was that? But like, I played it off. My sister was like, did you hear that? She was like, is that what I think it was? Y'all, why did someone shoot the sprinkler system in a home near us and it flooded our whole place? Like, and when I say flood, I'm talking about water up to my ankles. Like, firefighters couldn't turn the water off. Like, and it was midnight, keep in mind, and I have a lot of younger siblings, and my parents were sleeping, my grandma, everybody was sleeping. And so when the flood happened, like, it just literally came out of, like, the sky, and it was coming out of lights, so I was like, oh my god, electrocution, right. Blah, blah, blah. Like, we were literally panicking, we were dumping out water, all of that stuff, like, it was so bad, and I was just sitting there, because, like, literally 10 seconds ago, I was like, cried about my desk, like, you know, I was relaxing, I was chilling, and then all of a sudden my whole home is literally being flooded, things are being ruined, electronics are being basically flooded, and your clothes, everything, all of that flooded. My little siblings were waking them up. Some of them was like,
what's happening?
They're like, what is that water? Turn off the water. I'm like, baby, we can't. The firefighters can't turn off the water. Like, they literally flooded the whole place, and I remember that evening was so sad because it wasn't safe for us to stay there. Like, it literally just flooded. And the firefighters and the people who owned the property, they were like, yeah, we're going to have to get you guys a hotel. Or they were trying to figure out what to do for us. Mm-hmm. But I remember just sitting there and being like, this isn't my life.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this isn't my life. But it was. So that evening, my mama wasn't playing no games. When she saw the water wasn't stopping, and when she saw that everything was flooded, she took all her babies, she took my grandma, and they went to her bestest friend's house. And the thing is, again, it was midnight, so people are sleeping at this time, but she hit her friend up, and she said, hey, girl, this catastrophe is happening in my home. Can we pull up?
Yeah.
And so they did that night, and they went, and they stayed the night there. And I was like, me, my dad, my sister, and my older brother, we had another neighbor who lived like not far from us, because my mama was like, I got too many kids, so I'm gonna go to like this house where there will be more space for us.
Yeah.
And then this neighbor that my mom talks to often, she pulled up and she was like, no, you two, like me and my sister, the two eldest, she was like, no, you guys are gonna come sleep at my house. She said, I have clothes ready for you guys. You guys gonna take a shower, you guys are gonna come to my house. I was an idiot and I said no because I didn't want to burden her. But so we ended up sleeping at this crazy hotel, girl. I thought we was gonna get killed. It was scary in there. However, as time went on, we eventually, me and my sister, we went to go stay with that friend.
Mm-hmm.
And for a full week, this lady accommodated us. Like, literally, she fed us. She gave us a place to stay. She let us, like, lay our heads there. I was using her Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
We were, like, playing games with the kids. And that was the one time where I was like, wait, if there's anyone that I want to advocate for on Yom HaQiyama, it's this lady. Like, the friendship my mom was able to foster with her. And, like, her husband wasn't there, which, like, added on to, like, alhamdulillah. Like, yeah, we went through this tragedy, but when we went through it, we were able to find an accommodation.
Yeah.
Because her husband not being there, like, made so many things easier
mm-hmm.
for us. And all her kids are young and stuff like that. But us, like, this is, like, a long-winded answer. But her allowing us to basically stay at her home just showed me that there are people in this dunya who deserve, like, so much.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely owe so much to her that I feel like I haven't made up for, and I pray that one day I can make up something great for her. But, yeah, that was a time where I was like, dang, like, the people you have in your life and the community you have really matter.
Yeah.
And I know there are people that say, no matter how hard life gets, don't ever let no one move in with you. And I understand. I understand where that comes
people
from.
People say that?
Yeah, people say that. It's a thing, and I get where it could come from.
Yeah.
But I feel like since they were good enough friends and they knew each other, and like
right.
the fact that there were kids involved, that it made it so much easier. And like, she was so patient with us that I'm just like, I love her for the sake of Allah, and I hope she gets everything she ever asks for. Because Because that I literally was like, I wouldn't have known what to do. Because they were accommodating us and giving us a hotel to stay in. But the catch is every morning you have to check out. So they weren't letting you stay in the room like alone. Yeah, because other neighbors were affected. Not as badly as us, but they were affected. And like I saw her at breakfast one morning because I ended up like the last night we stayed in a hotel. Mm-hmm. I ended up sleeping at the hotel just for that one night. And then alhamdulillah, we were found like a better accommodation later. Mm-hmm. However, they came up to me. She was like, it's really hard because I have to drag all my stuff with me out of the hotel. Yeah. And this is one person. So imagine, you know, I have a big family. Imagine a whole family having to every single morning, like check out and like basically be homeless on the street.
Right.
So yeah, she saved us. And obviously it was through Allah first, but I give her all her flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that you mentioned you didn't want to stay there at first because you didn't want to burden her.
No. I didn't want to stay at our neighbor's house. Oh, wait, but her too. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
But because I think a huge part of community is also allowing people to do things for you as well. Yeah. And, like, accepting people's help. Because, like, we all know how amazing it feels and, like, how much ajr we get from Allah when we do things for other people. So I think the other end of that is allowing people to do those things for you too.
Yeah, that's really important. Even though it sucks sometimes, it's like a hit to your ego too.
It is. Like having to accept help or like admitting that like, yeah, I don't have a choice. Because like at that point, it's like you either stay at that place, but you could only stay there at night and then wander around the streets downtown.
Right. SubhanAllah, and I'm not built for that. And like, I have a place to work and stuff. What about you? Do you have a story? I know that was a little long, but that was one instance that comes to mind. What about you?
I feel like for me, it's not like in those huge moments. I don't know. Alhamdulillah, I don't think I've ever dealt with like anything like super tragic or like huge in my life. But it's really like just those small moments of like, I don't know, just coming together as a community and like realizing that there are people around you who have your back. Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, it's just like such a... Again, alhamdulillah, like it's such an ingrained in like my daily life that I think I don't reflect on it as much, because it's different when it's like you have this huge thing happen and then you like you sit and think about it, as opposed to when it's like it's there on the daily. Like I think in the back of my head I always know like, yes, I have my community around me if anything were to happen.
Alhamdulillah. It doesn't have to be anything tragic. Do you have anything like where you were giving, or just in general, where one day you were like, dang, I really want to do this, and then you had people to do it with, or something?
I think that's all the time. It literally any time, like, I feel like there's something I'm interested in, something I want to do, like, have people around me, or like, yes, go for it, or I'll help you, or do you need anything from me, or, like, for example, even with, like, we're both pretty involved at our masjid that we live next to. And so, like, with organizing, like, our girls' youth program and stuff, like, I literally was, like, to the group of girls who I organized stuff with, I was, like, I can't right now because I'm busy with school, and I was just, like, and they, like, picked that up and, like, ran with it, and now they're doing it, so, I don't know, I think it's just, like, those little moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's really nice of that. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mashallah.
But, yeah, I think it's, again, I think it's harder to like pinpoint ones when it's not like the huge big times in your life when you're like your community really comes through for you.
Yeah, that's true.
But then it's also like I can witness that for people around me. Like recently I had a close friend who like lost her father, and like the way like everyone just literally like I think his janazah was literally the same day as he passed away. And, like, the fact that, like, our old neighbors or people who we went to school with at Islamic school, like, from years and years ago, like, everyone just showed up and was there for the family. Yeah, I think those moments really make you, like wow, I really appreciate it. Appreciate community. Yeah. And not just in the bad times, but the good times, too.
Yes.
Like, sometimes I'll go to, like, a friend's wedding, and, like, it's, like, everyone is there, you know, from, like, the people from the Islamic school, people from the masjid, the people they work with, and, like, just having those people who are there for you, like, in the bad times and good times. So it's very beautiful to witness.
Yeah. Like, we were behind the scenes for a few friends. Well, I say a few, like, it's, like, multiple.
Yeah. I think it was, like, one?
Two for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Were you?
It was like multiple events.
Like multiple events, and just being able to help where you can or when you can.
It's so nice to be
a
part of.
Yeah.
Like I remember one of our friends who got married with Summer. Like she literally just put us in a group chat. She's like, "Hey, whoever wants to help out, we'll be at the Mizzou setting up at this time." And we just pulled up.
Yeah.
We were there. We were eating snacks. Her snacks.
We were chilling. A whole bride and we were making fun of her for her candy choice.
We were going on like store runs to get like snacks to pick up stuff for her. And we literally were at the Mizzou till like almost midnight to 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting stuff together. And then we all showed up early the next morning too to finishing touches and stuff.
It was beautiful.
It was really nice.
Alhamdulillah. I'm glad that she even like felt comfortable to allow us to be a part of such a big day in her life.
Again, I think it goes back to like people are scared to like let people help them as well. And I feel like that's something I have to also remind myself.
Absolutely.
It's not easy because like I feel like I have a very big ego and I have a lot of pride. So like asking people for help or like letting people help me is something I always struggle with. But it's like so beautiful because now we have those memories.
Yeah.
Of us just sitting there, like we were literally sitting at that table for hours just bantering while we were like doing all the party things.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like moments like that, like if she wouldn't have let us be a part of that, we wouldn't have those like good memories. And then like after everything was over, she had like a little watch party where all the girls who like helped her set up, we came in, we like watched and looked at all the pictures and the videos from her wedding.
Yeah.
So it was really nice.
Alhamdulillah. I feel like another good way for people to find their community or people to click with is us who do have and who are lucky to have people around us and a good group of friends, a good community.
Mm-hmm.
We should be willing to accept others.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Obviously, I'm not saying you have to invite everyone into your closest circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you should have a close circle because, you know, there's levels of friendship.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't there like 8 or something in Arabic? Like, levels of friendship. And you'll have super close friends, but
mm-hmm.
on like just casual events, you should be willing and open to inviting people in. Because some people just need a little bit of push, like they want it, but you might have to be the outside influence and be like, "Hey, how are you? Like, what are you doing here? Like, oh my god, it's so cool. I saw you from over there and I just wanted to introduce myself."
Yeah.
Especially if you're a more social person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at masjids. Too many people have stories of going to a new masjid that they've never gone to.
Yeah.
And they're just like left in the corner to be by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's like unimaginable.
Yeah.
Because if I see someone at the masjid that
she
I'm
walking walk into that woman's prayer, I'm like, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh."
If I see someone and I'm like, I can start a conversation with them or they're not like with the mix, obviously they want to be left alone, I ask them. I really do. I'd be like, "Oh, you want like, do you want to be left alone?"
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm like, "Hey!
Yeah.
I'm so-and-so. Who are you?"
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, try to be welcoming in those spaces. Why do you have cliques at the masjid?
Right. No, I agree. And, like, it's so important that, like, especially if that's your home masjid that, like, you frequent a lot or live next to, like, you should kind of take on that responsibility of, like, if I see someone here sitting by themselves, I'm going to make my, like, go introduce myself. Or I'm going to tell them, like, "Hey, do you need anything? Can we help you with anything?" Especially if it's someone you haven't seen before, too, like, and you know that they're new, it's very, very important to, like, make them feel welcome, make them feel at home. Especially, I think, in Ramadan a lot.
Yeah.
During, like, the iftar season and, like, tarawih prayers and stuff like that. Like, I think Ramadan is the perfect time to, like, start making those new interactions because there's just so much going on.
So much.
There's so many events, so many iftars, and, like, if you, like, live within your same community for the whole month, you'll find yourself running into a lot of the same people too.
Yeah.
So capitalize on that, honestly.
Yeah.
Capitalize on going to the masjid for iftar. If there's multiple masjid in your area, go to all of them. Something that we did over this past Ramadan is like masjid hopping. So going to different places and like meeting other people.
Yeah.
Just like expand on your network.
Yeah. Even if it's outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like
it's going to be outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, it is.
I think you gotta just do it.
Yeah. You'll literally just meet one person at the masjid that could open you up to, like, such beautiful things.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously, everyone you meet at the masjid, you're not gonna click with everyone.
Right.
I'm not
saying you don't have to.
Right, you don't have to click with everyone.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're someone, it's your home masjid, someone's new, make them feel welcome. If you're exploring a new masjid, like, don't be afraid to reach out to one or two people, because it's those like random interactions you have with people that leave like a lasting impact.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, stop having cliques in the masjid.
No, for real. I wonder, why is that? Like, why are we so cliquey at Moscow?
Right. I was like, it's okay if you have, like, good friends that you talk to.
No, like, I have a close circle. Yeah. And, like, if I want to go out, they're the first people I'm going to contact, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like, if I'm in a masjid setting, like, we literally will just sit there and yap, and, like, girls will come and join us. Girls
exactly.
Who know. Girls were like, oh, I just saw you guys sitting here. Can I come join? Yeah, sure. Like,
yeah.
We're literally in the masjid. Why does that matter?
Why do they... Someone shouldn't feel bad for asking to join your conversation.
Right.
No, unless you talk about something private. And even then, there's ways to, like...
What you doing that there for?
Hey, wait.
Don't do it at the masjid, but, like, you could do that on your own time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you can, like, find a way to, like, involve the other person.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, 100%.
Yeah. No cliques in the masjid. I agree. It's very silly, very childish, very high school.
Yeah.
I feel like... No, I don't think that's right. I was going to say, do you feel like it's more of a like sister's issue, or do you think it's the same for the brothers as well? But I think it's the same for them too.
I can't speak for the brothers. I feel like... Speak
for them.
I was going to say, I feel like the brothers, they... bond through sports.
Yes. Oh my god, I was just gonna say that. The thing is, I feel like with the Muslim guys, they also have their cliques, but when it comes to their sports, it doesn't matter. Like, even then, I feel like they'll still be cliquey, like, this team, that team, whatever, but they'll still come together to do it. Whereas I feel like with the girls, it's a little bit harder for us to get all of us in one space, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That does make sense. Yeah. But I don't think the boys have as big of an issue as we do. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
Like, I think for them, it would be less cliques and more, oh, that's my friend. Mm-hmm. But if another guy joins, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, if random guys are playing basketball and another guy comes and is a stranger, they're like, yeah, pull up.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, build bonds through that. Like, sports is an avenue.
But I also feel like they're a little bit more, like, superficial relationship. Whereas girl, like, we go in.
Yeah, that's true.
But with guys, it's more like surface level. Like, yeah, they play sports together, and they go to halaqa together, and then it's like, cool.
I don't interact with enough men to know.
I hate her.
I'm just kidding. Because my other brothers are like, most
this
of them
is
are
from
babies.
Like my brother's experiences.
Yeah, exactly. But,
no.
I was just being messy. No.
But
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I think we as like the Muslim girls, we do have a little bit of a clicky issue.
Yeah, we do.
I think it's just I don't like when people say it's because women are like they see other women as competition. I feel like that's how society tries to make us view it. I feel like it's not so much so that women are in competition with one another, but it's more that, like, society makes us feel like we need to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to be competing with each other, or, like, comparing ourselves to one another, and, like, oh, she looks this way or she's that way. And I feel like that kind of comes into play, too.
With the cliques?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah, the masjids that are in our area, I don't know, maybe I'm not observant enough. I feel open and welcome, but that could also be because now, not saying we're the bee's knees, but I feel like you know enough people to where you're not as like, because we're not
like,
newcomers to any of our masjids.
Yeah, it's like big fish, small, little pond.
Yeah, I mean, what does that mean?
Like, big fish, little pond is like, you're like here, but it's because you're in a small community, small environment.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were to go to, like, if I were to move and go to a new masjid, I'd be little fish, huge pond.
Yes.
It's like, you're starting from the ground up to build yourself up. Whereas here, like, we're established and now, like, we're entering adulthood and stuff. Yeah.
And you went to school with these people. So even if their masjid is, like, 40 minutes away, you know people there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should be prefacing that we're not coming from an Islamic standpoint. We're not educated like that. We're not that knowledgeable. Let me say, I am not educated like that. I'm not that knowledgeable. I'm not a scholar.
I know everything.
Okay.
Stop for the life. No, because we didn't mention anything.
This is just like our own experiences.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And another reason traveling is so fun is seeing how other people live.
Yes. Recently, over the summer, again, I was in another country, on that continent. It's just like seeing, this is why I love being Muslim, is like just seeing other Muslim communities. It's so fun. Like, even if it's just another state, like just going to their masjid and seeing like their events or like their MSAs and their like Muslim student organizations and how they interact and how they build and grow as a community is really cool.
I went to Texas one time. I want to live there.
She loves it.
I am plotting to live there. I want to go to there.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Texas is a bit much.
Let me say some, a little bit of shade to the Texas community, okay? While was I there, and they're going to talk about some, because I went for a convention, and they're going to say, are you guys enjoying Texas? Yes. Then they're going to say, how's the weather treating you? It's hot, huh? I was like, no. Their weather was so mild.
Oh, it's not that hot.
Oh my God, not that hot. Maybe.
Why did they make it seem like it's literally Jahannam down there?
Maybe it's the season we went, but every single day felt amazing.
Really?
Compared to
drama queens.
They were literally drama queens. And multiple people would talk about the weather, and I was like, no. Like, I felt so mean.
Dramatic.
I felt so mean saying no, but I was serious. Like, what are you complaining about? 72 degrees outside. What are you, why are you tripping?
Do 72.
I don't remember all of them, but there was a day I looked and I was like, are we serious?
That's a bit drama.
I was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just the days that we were there.
But also, maybe it's because we went to Arizona over the summer, and that was
hands
on earth. It's like you, like, we stepped out and it's like you just felt like you couldn't breathe for a few seconds because of how hot it was.
They're being punished in Arizona.
Like, if you're a Muslim in Arizona, I just know you're, mashallah, on your knee and iman is high because you're getting a taste of what your afterlife could look like every day.
Every single day.
It's like you think, you know, at night it'll get a little bit better. It doesn't get better. It was nighttime and we were sitting outside of a cafe sweating bullets. Like, it's so bad.
That's not normal.
And I'm African. I've been to Africa multiple times. It wasn't as bad as Arizona. Like, at least over there, like, when I go overseas, if you, it's hot during the day, yes, but I can go stand under a little tree and get a little breeze and shade and I'd be fine. That didn't exist in Arizona. All legal shade, there was no breeze, there was nothing. It's like the air was just still.
Cacti and torture. Yes, see.
Like, it really is desert. Like, I knew it was a desert, but I think until I saw it, I was like, wow, no, like, you meant desert.
Yeah. But Sedona and Flagstaff and like, those were pretty cool.
And good weather, too.
Yeah. But is there theme song? Ugh, what is it called? Logo. Is it Arizona's for Sinners?
Is it?
Yeah, to be. People are being punished. Stop for a long. Sorry, Arizona Muslims, we don't hate you. It's just like, you guys have a valid reason to talk about the weather. The people in Texas were tripping. Truly tripping. I still want to be a part of your community, though. Welcome me anytime. I'll be down there.
So, okay, so why do you, what did you like more about the Texas community as opposed to
Goodness. It's like they had a halal nightlife.
This is how I felt when I went to Australia.
Really? Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And I say nightlife, not like people outside intermixing. I didn't see none of that. Mm-hmm. But they had like halal food spots open in the AMs, which is so important because like maybe you want to go get like a bite with your friends at a time or whatever the case may be. And you have like a safe space to go to and stuff like that. Like, what? Are you kidding me? And then I was like, could you imagine a Ramadan? And that was just like a minute little thing that I saw. It's like they just, the community, it just felt so beautiful. It just felt so calm. And it was really nice. They have a lot of like influential speakers and people down there too.
Yeah.
And I guess that might add to it. But for me, it was just like the possibilities are endless because there are so many resources because there are so many Muslims.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's like the ultimate goal for like the Muslim community here in the States is like, we should have it to, it should be to the point where like no matter what I need, what service I need, where I need to go, what I need to do, I can find a Muslim who I can go to.
Yes.
So whether it's a hospital or a clinic or a restaurant or a school or a library or a third space, a house, whatever, there's Muslims who are working in that field that we can go to. Because like, that's how you build your community and you keep your money and your resources within your community.
Yes.
Because it's like, if all of us Muslims live here and we just go to work and we get our education, we work and we spend our money outside, we're not going to see that growth that we want to be able to see.
But yeah, I agree with you, because our communities here, we don't know it, or maybe we do know it, but we've grown.
Yeah.
At that convention, I met people that moved out of our hometown, and they were like, and we were reconnecting, and we would tell them about the different masjids that they used to go to that were literally in basements and houses and random areas, and we're like, they're castles now. What are you talking about? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And we're like, yes, alhamdulillah, like our communities, alhamdulillah, from back then to now, our parents and generations after us slowly but surely were expanding and providing a little bit more for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's because we're finally, like, slowly as a community, we're moving out of survival mode. I feel like we've been in survival mode for so long, because for a lot of us, we're immigrant Muslims, or, you know, Muslims who are the descendants of slaves. So it's like we've all just been trying to survive and, like, literally put food on the table. So we're just now finally starting to kind of get out of that, and it's like, okay, like, we've survived. We're surviving.
Yeah.
Now how do we, like, thrive in our community?
Yes, alhamdulillah. And you can see it too, because they're like, the parents were doing the surviving, and now they were able to fund, and now the kids are probably going to go back and fund some more.
Right.
May Allah allow us to thrive even more.
I mean,
but also keep hold to our deen.
Yeah.
Because
you can do both.
You can.
It's possible.
It's probably not possible.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful. I'm telling you. I literally was like, do I have to find a man here or something? Like, what do I have to do?
If you're from Texas.
No, stop. No, because you know what I was thinking? My first thought wasn't a man. My first thought was,
job.
I need to find a job. I was like, let me start working here. I don't care. I was like, as long as I can establish myself there first, I don't care about any of that. But I was like, but if getting married is the quickest way to get to Texas first, I just need to get there. But I'm not going to be tripping about the weather, because y'all was tripping.
She had the plan. She just needed the platform.
Man, I literally went online and I started looking for jobs in my field in Texas.
I love doing that. I'm still in school, but I love doing that.
Man, I was
in
like,
cities.
I was like, you think I can live out there? And then I was looking at apartments. I just wanted to live in Texas. I've always wanted to live there, though. Granted, and going to Texas this past summer, actually, it was a last minute trip. That's another thing with the community thing. Like, we've had a few trips and they've been spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's like you gotta know who you're going with. And also, I literally said yes to like 5 days before. I'm not kidding. Literally 5 days before. I was like, yeah, I'll pull up.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just having friends that were like, oh, it'll be beneficial. Like, come with us. We want you there. Yeah, it was really nice, you know. Texas? This ain't Texas, but I'm gonna be in Texas.
Sure.
You gonna come too, because we gotta do this podcast somewhere.
You know, the South is not really for me.
You've just never been.
I'm trying to go to the East Coast. I really like there. There also have a really big Muslim community. I feel like it's very, very diverse. Yeah, very diverse.
Yeah, that's important. Diversity?
Yeah. Like, not only in terms of, like, ethnic backgrounds and race, but also, like, socioeconomics classes. Because I feel like, unfortunately, with a lot of our, like, more established Muslim communities, it's a big reason is because of the socioeconomic class of that community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't know, I think about, like, in the future, I wouldn't want to raise my kids around, like, Muslims who are only wealthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's important to find that middle ground.
Yes.
Because you can... I think we have a misconception in our community that in order to have nice things, you have to be a rich Muslim. But our Muslim community as a whole, we can thrive and we can build in communities where it's not just all one kind of a person.
Yes.
But one kind of class or people's status.
Yeah. There's a masjid here, a big masjid community here that I admire for their diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Like that masjid, first of all, you can see the benefits of having people from different ethnic, cultural, societal, like economic background. Someone is always at that masjid. Like you pull up, you will find someone there. Maybe except for like the first couple of hours in the day because people are at home. But Fajr onwards, like you will find someone there.
Yeah.
And I find it so beautiful because like you will feel instantly comfortable no matter where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
They just, it's just the type of space that they have and they have allowed to foster and grow there. And I always give them their props for that. That was the masjid that opened Islam to me a little bit more. Yeah, 2019. And like that was the year we started like a youth group there and stuff like that. And that was, that just catapulted me to just keep going forward on and on.
And so you wouldn't have like found that if you didn't go outside of your normal masjid that you go to, like, you know, venture out a little bit.
And the friends I surrounded myself with,
yeah,
they opened me to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People who are in your life are really important.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good session. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want more. I feel like you can talk about community for a long time.
Yeah.
With like different people, because we all have stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just try your best. Also, just make dua to Allah too. Like I think we put too much faith in ourselves and not enough in like just praying. Because sometimes you do your part and then you pray, like that's really all you can do. So yeah, put yourself in those situations, get out of your comfort zone, and then pray. With God to Allah that will grant you like good companions, good community, good people in your life.
Yes. I mean, may Allah grant us both and more.
Ameen. Any last words?
No, you did beautiful. That was really nice. Like, it's always good to have a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all from us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.